Our reading this morning is from the 14th chapter of John. And it takes place at a time when Jesus has just told his disciples of the coming betrayal and suffering he would have to undergo and overcome. He has just told Peter, who has promised he would follow him to the grave, that he would in fact deny Jesus three times. And it's a rather painful moment for the disciples who have gone from the highest high to suddenly a shocking low. And this is what Jesus says to them. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Boy, where to begin this morning? Tell you where I want to begin. I want to begin with the contrast of these times and the fear that they're feeling. Now, I read this reading a lot at funerals. It's a wonderful reading for funerals, bringing family the comfort of the promise of Christ, of heaven, of the afterlife, of what comes next. But I want you to put yourself in the place of the disciples for a moment. And I want you to remember that they were a radical break-off sect of a troubled religion in an occupied land. It was frightening times all around for them. And here they thought they had their conquering hero. But their conquering hero said, no, it's not the way it's going to be played out at all. There's going to be suffering. There's going to be clashes. There's going to be death. He doesn't say, but don't worry. I mean, that's too simple. He's been human for the last 33 years. He knows the emotions that come with trouble, that come with fear. He knows how your decision-making is not always its best, your thinking is not always its best when you're under that kind of pressure. He knows all those things. He knows he's going to be leaving the disciples as sheep among wolves. And what he gives to us, what he gives to them, is more than just a promise of a reward when it's all over. The name of my sermon is Heaven and Earth. And the operative term here is the conjunction, and. Not heaven after earth, or heaven better than earth, but heaven and earth. And he starts by saying, don't be troubled. Don't be afraid. You'll make it through this. And there's an eternal reward waiting for you. There's comfort and peace with me beyond death. But he doesn't stop there. He says, believe in me. Believe in who I've told you I am, the Son of the Father. And I'm just like the Father, he says. Believe that. But if you can't get your head around that, if you aren't accustomed to thinking in those lofty theological terms, then believe in what you saw me do when I was with you. And let that be enough for you. But he doesn't stop there. He then says, I'm leaving you, but not without power. Because each of you is going to do what I did, all those miracles, and even more if you do it in my name. So he starts with the fact of his death, the promise of eternal life, the need to believe and continue to follow even in his absence, and the good works that each of his disciples and each of us can do under any kind of pressure. He lays out the path for them in a few short paragraphs that they can follow. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit would come later. But here, Father and Son, God and Son, Savior, and the great I Am. Right here for all of us to grab hold of, take comfort in, find strength in, and then move forward in the world with heaven and earth. Now, when I read this reading and prepared my first of four or five sermons that I prepare every week, I just can't get around that, I guess. I had this in mind on Friday when we had a funeral followed by a wedding rehearsal here in the church. The funeral was for Donna Redout, a lady I knew, and most of you knew, many of you knew anyway. Very nice lady, 78 years old and ready to go home to be with God. Saw her Yankees win one more time. It was enough for her. Gonna go join Joe DiMaggio, Lou Gehrig, and the bunch up in heaven. And I watched her sons get up and eulogize her, Bill and Paul, and saw the hurt they felt and the incredible emotional upset. But underneath that emotional upset was the strength that they wanted to do this for their mom, and they wanted to make their mom proud one more time. And that is kind of what Jesus was talking about. It's the same thing, and those of you who have had parents that have passed on know this already. There's a strength that can be passed on to you from your mom or your dad that is always with you and always in there. And it will lead you to be more noble than you really are, to be harder working than you're capable of, to have more energy than you really have. And it's the same thing Jesus is talking about with our ultimate parent, our God. In fact, that which we get from our own parents and our own mentors comes first from God. And that was beautiful. Right here at this microphone. And then a few hours later, we're having this wedding rehearsal. It's a small wedding party consisting of the groom, his brother, and his father. And complicated as lives are these days, there are three grandparents that are separate and three mothers that all need to be escorted down the aisle. Now, the brother's the best man, leaving the father to run track. Mary Lou and I were here for this, and we had all the ladies in the back, and God bless him, this guy, he's in his 60s, a little overweight perhaps, huffing and puffing. He's going up and down that aisle, escorting one after another. And he gets done, he stands down here for the whole ceremony, huffing and puffing a little bit, but very proud of his son and deeply in love with his future daughter-in-law. And then he sat down while we went through everything we had done. We decided we're going through the whole thing again. And I look down, and this guy's got a bead of sweat going down the side of his head. And I'm thinking, well, it's warm in here, but it's not hot. And I look at him and I say, why don't you just sit this one out, Dad? Why don't you go ahead and sit there and we'll continue on. And I start the music and I'm talking and I look down and his right hand is twitching. And then he goes pale, and then his eyes roll back in his head, and he collapsed right here, Friday, right here. Now, side note to our leadership team, we better get that defib unit very soon. Not later, but sooner. Because if it had been a heart event, this would have been a very sad story. He's laying down there. We've got a pillow under his head. And he's trying to say something. There's people crowded around here. The bride is 7 months pregnant. And she's sitting over here. He is looking past his son, his other son, his wife, the paramedics, and he's looking at his future daughter-in-law, and he's saying over and over again, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. This is her day, you see. And the strength that he has as he's laying there on the floor is all going and pouring out love for this girl who's joining his family. Now, the story had an okay ending. When you're a type 2 diabetic and you haven't eaten all day, you have high blood pressure and haven't taken your medication in 5 days, bad things can happen. But then yesterday, he was right here again. He escorted no one down the aisle. Yeah. We made sure of that, didn't we, Mary Lou? But he stood right here on this spot. Now, the day before, he wasn't going to go to the hospital. I'm all right, he's acting all tough. And I kneeled down next to him. And all I said was, hey, tomorrow's a big day for these kids. We want everyone to be here. And then he agreed to go to the hospital. He was there a couple hours, got stabilized. And so he's standing here on the biggest day of his son's life, gaining a new daughter. And I watched him as best I could. And it was heaven and earth. It was heaven and earth. This guy had a close call, and he was relishing every moment of this ceremony. Just, you could see him close his eyes once in a while, which was a little scary. And soaking it all up. This big day, his kids here, almost at tears as they say their vows. Picture of his mother on the altar who had passed away with a candle lit behind her in memory of her. And he's thinking, I know, of all the days behind him and the days that are ahead for his son and his bride and his unborn grandchild, his first grandchild. Heaven and earth. This man's confident of where he's going next, but even more confident of where he wants to be right now. And I share that story without his permission because it's a message to us that Jesus has given. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Way out there somewhere in our future is a wonderful, beautiful place. When we close our eyes on this world, we will open them to our God and our Christ, and God's heaven. Don't let our hearts be troubled. There will be messy, difficult times here on earth as well, but all in all, God gives us incredible beauty, surrounds us with it. We're fairly swimming in the Holy Spirit and the beauty that is here. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't miss the blessings God places in your lives, the opportunities to be an angel for a friend, the beauty of love well expressed, the beauty of the earth waking up again around us and kicking off the bedclothes. Don't let your hearts be troubled. You'll sometimes be in way over your head. You'll sometimes find yourself laying flat out, not knowing where you're going to be next or what's going to become of you. Don't let your hearts be troubled, because the people around you can call on extra reservoirs of power and can move mountains for you when you can't move them yourself. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Heaven and earth. heaven in our future, and the beauty of this marvelous creation here and now for each of us. No one knows how many days we have ahead of us, my friends. But let us savor every day that we've got. Amen.